Data centers play a crucial role in the future of the world economy as more users and businesses move to the digital sphere and the need for effective information processing is growing. They are critical for national security, internet infrastructure, and economic output, as there is a growing preference for the cloud and increased data consumption from billions of digital users. I'm Christy Yai, and you're watching The Cost of Everything, where today we're going to be breaking down the cost of these digital storage houses. Data center facilities house computer systems and associated components to store, process, and disseminate data and applications. Because IT operations are crucial for business continuity, infrastructure must also include backups, data communications connections, and environmental controls, and various other security devices. Companies primarily use the cloud in order to reduce the total cost of ownership, have quicker delivery, and better prospects for innovation. The cloud has been the foundation of the digital transformation and allows for flexible digital workplaces and remote work. But the cloud is actually built on top of these data centers. Northern Virginia in the United States is the world's largest data center market. But India is quickly becoming the global destination for setting up new data centers due to lower costs, cheaper labor, and tax incentives. Now, setting up a data center is very cost intensive. As a general rule of thumb, it costs between $600 and $1,100 per square foot, or $7 million to $12 million per megawatt of commissioned IT load to build a data center. First, there's the cost of land and the building shell, which is between 15 to 20%. Then there are the electrical systems, which have to run 24/7 and have backup generators, batteries, and uninterruptible power supply. This will be approximately 40 to 45% of the total cost. Then you need network connectivity, where 1 mile of fiber optic connection may cost as much as $250,000. Then you have HVAC and cooling systems to chill the units, which will be another 15 to 20% of the total cost. Finally, there is the building outfit, which includes a standard lobby, shipping, and receiving area, which will be 20 to 25% of the project budget. In total, a data center of the size that Facebook or Google might use would cost around $500 million. Microsoft is now building its fourth data center in India, where this latest center construction is estimated to cost about $2 billion. Microsoft already has more than 200 physical data centers in more than 34 markets around the world, serving over 1 billion customers and 20 million companies worldwide. Amazon also announced in 2020 that it would spend $2.8 billion to build a second data center in India, and Adani Group has also announced plans to build 6 data center campuses all across India. With the growth of data-intensive technologies like cloud computing, organizations are generating and processing larger volumes of data. These data centers need to scale their server infrastructures to accommodate the increasing workloads. So as the number of data centers grows, there's a corresponding need for more server infrastructure to support the expanding computing requirements. Industry revenues are expected to increase at a compounded annual growth rate of around 18 to 19% from the increase in rack capacity. So with this in mind, let's bring in the professor of computer science, Rakumar Bhuiya, at the Melbourne University. Now, Professor, can you discuss any emerging trends or technologies that are driving changes in data center design, operations, and cost optimization?
Yeah, sure. Managing data centers is definitely expensive, but there are technologies that are driving advances in data center that can potentially reduce their cost in terms of service offering. So if you look at the advances in data center, more and more driven by emerging applications such as those coming from domains like, say, artificial intelligence. So these AI applications are, you know, very unique model of workload. So as a result, so there are companies who are developing very workload-specific CPUs, central processing unit, And also these applications, the AI, they consume enormous of energy, like this called machine learning training, machine learning algorithms, so that they can come out with better answer. So they also take a lot of time to process. So therefore, we need to think in terms of building data centers, next generation center that are not only faster, but are also energy efficient. So there are approaches that are coming up in terms of how to manage data center resources in an integrated manner. So for example, in cloud data computing, the data centers are the backbone. Today, most of them are managed as individual resources, like compute resource, network resource, cooling resources. So there is a need for having integrated or holistic way of managing these resources. This is another emerging area or a concept that is coming up. So in that area, for example, ourselves, we are looking into building such new class of data centers to support new energy workload, where we can minimize the consumption of energy. So thus, you can reduce the cost of maintenance of data center, not only construction, but also maintenance, operational management, operational cost. Operational cost is very high, as you know. Procuring, building a data center, maybe if X amount, operational cost can be huge. So this is where we need to look into. So these are the emerging in terms of hardware, in terms of application workload, and in terms of approach to manage the data center so that we can deliver services in a cost-efficient manner, in energy-efficient manner.
And what are some potential challenges or risks in operating data centers in regions prone to natural disasters or political instability?
So yes, natural disaster can be a trouble, and that's very common. So if you have a data center in one place, and for some reason, if there's natural disaster, so you can't afford to lose that whole data center, the customers and all that. So this is where the aspect of having geographically distributed data centers come into picture, wherein instead of having all your applications running on one data center in one place, you can have multiple data center where this workload can be distributed. For some reason, if one of the data center is not available, then you can dynamically switch that workload towards another place where it is available. So this way we can manage disasters. Disaster can be as simple as you losing a network connectivity, or of course losing the power, or if there is some kind of big earthquake or cyclone or anything that causes the whole data center destruction. Then of course, this political instability is another factor mentioned. So if there is a instability in the country, the people can cut off the power, cut off the network. So all this problem happens. So therefore, we need backup plans, or also not just backup, but also distributed architecture, wherein we can manage this workload by distributing. If one of them is not available for whatever reason, we can switch over the workload to others and then provide uninterrupted services. So that is one of the way of one of the best way of managing these situations of disasters and instabilities of the politics.
And how important is redundancy and backup infrastructure and data center operations, and what are the costs associated and considerations when building?
Yeah, so redundancy is the way to achieve high availability. So if something is not available, so you can move towards your redundant replica copy. And the redundancy is very common. This has been a feature that being added to even to server itself. If you go to within one server, there can be multiple CPUs, multiple computation. If one of them task fails, you can move to redundant task. Similarly, if one of the data center fails, you can move to redundant data center. So obviously, the moment you go for redundancy, it is the cost comes into picture, because you may have to have more than one data center. I mean, you need to have multiple data center to deal with this availability problem. So even within computation, for example, sometimes you got a computation, you perform redundant computation. For example, if some task is really critical, for some reason if it fails, you can't afford to restart the whole thing. You have to have redundant computation. So which means it is extra cost. Suppose if you're using a cloud computing environment, and if you have got a redundancy of 10%, that means your cost will also increase by 10-15% in terms of paying for that cloud services, plus also managing the data consistency, because redundancy is very easy to say. So if I keep a redundance, which is the latest copy? If I'm operating, maybe I'm operating here, but I have to also update that other replica also. So there is a cost of acquiring resource, there is a cost associated with maintaining replica consistency. These are extra costs. That is, it also makes development of software complex. Building an application that can deal with redundancy, consistency, work across, is actually increases complexity of your software system and engineering. So you will see the cost from the perspective of hardware, you know, capability, and also software application building having that ability. These are two costs. And we have done, we looked into, for example, if I have a application with a certain degree of redundancy, what happens if I have a 1 degree of failure, a 2 degree of failure, 3 degree of failure? So as you assume more and more failure, there is a loss, then that means you have to go for more and more redundancy. So more redundancy means more complexity and more expensive.
Can you provide some examples of real-world scenarios or case studies where data center downtime had severe consequences for businesses or users?
Oh yeah, there are actually many. For example, here in Australia itself, in 2016-17, we had data center, I mean, this Amazon data center. So like this, multiple companies have set up data centers in different places around the world. They also have in, for example, in Australia, for example, in Sydney. One, because of storm, so there was a network failure. And because of which, all those applications running on that data center were not working. Simple example, a credit card. You know, these credit cards, if you want to buy petrol or go buy anything, so you need credit card appraisal. So when people were not able to pay for petrol cost anywhere, credit card, through credit card, because that service offering this authentication and credit card transaction that is down, not accessible anymore. That's one problem. Second, even the train systems in, for example, in Melbourne. So we have, you know, Mikey, this is like a train car. So when you go to the train station, you swap, they'll open the gate. Now, because these are services, the authentication and, you know, entry opening, they are remote, they are on the cloud. So that cloud is not accessible. As a result, we can't get into the train. You see, this is a simple, direct example. And yeah, this can cause huge problem. So this is simple day-to-day people life. Then you go to the businesses. Obviously, there is becoming, because the electronic transaction service running on that cloud is not available, therefore your credit card can't work. So like this, there are many, many examples. If you go on seeing a downtime of just half an hour can cause just millions and millions of loss. For example, companies like Amazon, so who have this electronics business, you know, e-commerce. So if the site is down, they lose something like several millions per hour of business capacity.
And what are some notable differences in data center costs between developed and emerging markets?
Yeah, so emerging markets, you know, data center in developed places like Australia, US, and some of the European countries, so they are already there. Now looking at emerging markets like, say, India and others, so there also the huge uptake of electronic transaction, payment system, people interaction through mobile phones, business transaction. This is a massive. And then a country like India with massive population, you know, with so much of movement towards electronics based next generation technologies and transactions, so there they are also now looking, you know, have been deploying data center everywhere. So now they recognize that as the next infrastructure, just like we recognize roads are critical infrastructure, this water distribution network is critical infrastructure. Similarly, data centers have become critical infrastructure. So recently, for example, India, the government has passed a law indicating that data centers are the critical infrastructure, just like roads. The moment, for example, if there is a blockage of roads, there won't be any flow of traffic. The whole city or country can come to a standstill, right? Like highways are blocked. Similarly, if data centers are down, people won't be able to make any transaction anymore. Yeah, now people have become so much of automated. Every small vendor on the street, so they, you know, operate based on electronics payment. So they will say, here is my code, you scan and you pay. Then as a result, people are not even carrying money. And even if you carry money, people are not accepting. If you say, here is my, you know, 1,000 rupees equivalent of, let's say, $2, $3 present, they'll say, I don't have a change, so you please pay. And some places, they're not even accepting the cash. They're saying all electronic payment. So that way they can see this becomes much more accountability. We know what is coming in, what is going out. There is no loss of any, you know, money loss, anything. So this is good. The problem is if data center are not up for any moment, it can cause disruption to the services, the people, transaction. So our dependency, critical, the data center become really critical resource.
Thank you so much, Professor Rajkumar, but please stick around. Professor Rajkumar will stay with us right after the break. And when we come back, we will explore the future of data centers in India. Don't go away.
When Hamas launched its operations against Israel, the Western world, as usual, declared it was an unprovoked attack. This is not surprising. As with the conflict in Ukraine, the West refuses to accept that it is responsible for its client state's destructive and illegal behavior.
Today, I'm authorizing additional strong sanctions.
Foreign companies are quitting Russia.
Haben wir Sanktionen verhängt, die ihresgleichen suchen.
ATM cards were blocked and banks disconnected from the international payment system.
Ces sanctions vont frapper durement la Russie.
Dollar and euro exchange rates followed.
У меня поначалу была паника, думала, что все, как мы будем работать.
Время тревог наступило, когда стали закрывать границы.
Подорожало все, все материалы, которые мы используем.
Can Russian business overcome this?
Санкции не работают. Для нас это хороший инструмент. Сейчас мы должны производить больше наших продуктов, наш сыр, наша мебель.
В России такой потенциал, который ни у кого нет. Мы потом еще сделаем такой экспорт, который никогда не было.
Мы понимаем, что действительно от российского производителя ждут реального поставки лекарств. Теперь такое понимание, если не мы, то кто?
Нам не страшен никакой кризис, потому что мы проходили уже. Мы готовы работать. Я думаю, что мы прорвемся.
The world has approximately 8,000 physical data centers as of 2022, with 33% of them located in the US. The US has 2,701 data centers, more than any other country in the world, followed by Germany at 487, the UK at 456, and China at 443. The largest data center is located in China at 10.7 million square feet. However, India is one of the fastest growing markets for data centers, although it currently ranks 13th place with 138 data centers. India has more than 700 million internet users at the end of 2022, almost double that in the US. The data center market in India is expected to grow at a compounded annual growth rate of over 4% through 2025 as more and more people rely on the cloud and the proliferation of smartphones. Businesses are increasingly migrating to cloud-based business operations, and the government is attempting to grow the digital economy through supporting data center development. The favorable government support in India in the form of tax incentives is another key factor of the accelerating market growth. These data centers are also able to access longer tenure debt at competitive rates and access to foreign funding through external commercial borrowing as well. Under a national policy framework for data centers, the IT ministry intends to provide up to 1.8 million in incentives. The growth of India's data center is driven primarily by large hyperscalers like Amazon Web Services, Google, Facebook, Microsoft, IBM, Uber, Alibaba, Dropbox to power all of their cloud demand. The rapidly growing cloud computing and increasing internet penetration are fueling the demand for data centers in the country. And the sector is likely to witness a five-fold increase in capacities in the next 5 years. There are also major investments into India's big data and IoT technology sectors that are increasing the demand for data centers. Sectors such as logistics, transportation, e-commerce, and government agencies, they are witnessing high demand for co-location services. The overall public cloud service market in India may hit $10.8 billion by 2025, and while this growth is great for the economy and productivity, power availability will become increasingly constrained, particularly in top markets. Power costs already rose by a median of 16% in 2022, and data centers are expected to consume 20% of the world's power supply by 2025. In 2020, the data center industry consumed around 196 to 400 terawatt hours. So while data centers are great for the advancement of technology, many environmental activists are opposed due to its massive energy consumption. So for this and more, let's bring in again computer science professor Rajkumar Bhuiya at the Melbourne University. So professor, how have advancements in technology and infrastructure affected the cost structure of data centers over the past decade?
Yeah, so definitely the affordability has been, becoming more and more realistic. So earlier, these big data centers, what we call cloud services, were primarily used by, large companies. But now with the emergence of the data center becoming more like a commodity, thanks to cloud computing. So anyone without investing upfront, huge amount of capital, so they can simply move towards these cloud data centers and start operating their business. Usually in the past, the only big companies were the one who were building such massive capability and then capturing big market share. But now the small emerging startups can also come in with very innovative service, cost efficient, come to cloud data centers, wherein they only pay for operational cost, not the cost of capital expenditure. Instead, they shift towards operational cost. So operational cost only grows with your business growth. When a business is growing, then you can obviously pay for higher expenses. So this is the model. So this commoditization of data center through cloud computing has brought in enormous opportunities for emerging and also new entrant into the marketplace. So it's a level playing field. If someone has a great idea, they can move quickly. And also this can be very disruptive. If there is an established service and invested a lot, this kind of thing can be disturb the whole business. As a result, what is a leader today, a vendor who is a leader today may not be a leader anymore tomorrow, or may disappear also.
Can you share some insights into the potential economic benefits that data centers bring to local economies, such as job creation and attracting technology investments?
This is one of the reason why number of governments are considering data centers as a critical infrastructure, just like roads. So therefore, they are making sure that they are friendly towards creation of such data center. They are also providing mechanisms so that companies can invest in their country. Say, for example, even India. So they are making sure that data centers easily available the power to, because data center consume a lot of energy. So constant uninterrupted power supply necessary. So therefore, the governments are also providing not only stable electricity, but also encouraging these people to deploy data centers in places where energy is abundant and available at low cost. Sometimes it may be going towards some remote place where there is, they have solar energy. So abundant energy available, solar power. So you can power them. So this is creating, new economic opportunity in places where you're unthinkable. So there are remote places where there were no businesses. Now suddenly, all of a sudden, data centers, vendors are going, they're deploying all the renewable energy, sources, and then powering the data center. So it is creating, new economy in the places where you never thought. So this is one important opportunity. Then obviously more and more services are moving toward there. So this becomes another attractive reason why you need to go there. If some country can provide you such stable electricity, stable environment, then data centers are, not politicized by anybody else. So these are the assurances provided by government is helping some of the people to move their businesses to those countries where such things are possible.
And how do data center costs intersect with sustainability initiatives and energy efficiency goals within the industry?
Yes, actually, if you look at data center energy consumption, so every year it is increasing. Although the hardware elements are becoming efficient, more and more energy efficient, but however, the use of the data centers, use of this cloud data center to power applications is drastically growing. More and more applications are going to cloud data center, especially this thanks to this COVID. more and people working from home, that means applications are run on the cloud, and then we are interacting through those applications. So the use of cloud data centers is increased. So next, because of this, the amount of energy consumed by data centers is actually escalating more and more. So there are studies that show that by 2030, it's like worst case assumption. In worst case, data center, cloud data center would consume energy almost equivalent to 20% of global energy. That is first. And the second, with the emergence of what we call Internet of Things, this is another workload, Internet of Things. Everything become part of internet. As a result, you want to create smart services. So this IoT, Internet of Things, in healthcare, in smart cities, in smart agriculture. So these applications, plus the gaming, entertainment. So everybody want low latency services. That means the delay. Delays has to be very less. If I initiate in a service, the response times will be very quick. That is called low latency services in healthcare area, for example. So these low latency services, if you access from a remote data center, which are generally cloud data center, so the latency is very high. So therefore, people are now moving the data center into the city. So that means the data centers are now moving into the city. So that means further more energy consumption. So then coming to this renewable energy. Renewable energy, generally people think of deploying this solar panels and so on, a little bit far away from the city. So there is a little, maybe desert place, where the sun energy is very high, then put there. But however, this real-time low latency application are making them to push some of the data center into the city. So now we are going to see the big challenge of the power, their carbon footprint, plus huge consumption, what actually suitable in the city level, what actually suitable in the other level. So these are the new class of things that are coming up. But anyway, suffice to say that energy consumption is massively increasing. So we need advances in how we manage the data center resources and how they interact among multiple data centers to minimize this energy consumption, to minimize their carbon footprint. So these are two big challenges for next 10 years to look into.
Thank you so much, Professor Raj Kumar, for all your time today. By now, it is cliche that data is the new oil, the high-tech fuel of the 21st century economic progress. But unlike oil, we often think that data has no physical form and therefore no environmental impact. All of our data gets stored in the cloud, right? Some imaginary internet infrastructure that just somehow works when we need to pull it out. That couldn't be further from the truth. The International Energy Agency estimates that data centers consume approximately 200 terawatt hours of electricity, or nearly 1% of global electricity demand, and contributes to 0.3% of all global CO2 emissions. And while it is tempting to point the finger at big tech, the truth is that every company and every individual with a smartphone contributes to the increase in data center workloads. Companies are now looking into solutions to address this problem by designing improved cooling systems and updating servers that have significantly reduced energy costs. While this helps to slow down the problem, it is but a temporary band-aid. The more digitized our economy becomes, the more we will rely on data centers to support it at the expense of the environment. I'm Christy Yai. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you right back here next time on The Cost of Everything.